so that he can be immediately considered for this position. And I'd like to speak to that if I may.
Let me hear your motion, man. All right, I think that's in order. You second? All right.
Mr. Moderator, we heard this evening that this committee has been without a coordinator for some time. That they're greatly in need of one. And there is a man that is exceptionally suitable for it. He's proven this in his work. He has said himself tonight at some period of the meeting that he has a heart for planting churches. And I think that he's in a position where he can't be chosen because he's chairman of the committee searching for someone for coordinator. I believe we have a man close at hand that is excellent for this job, and I'd like to see, as the moderator that was elected for this assembly says, that the assembly give a mandate for this committee to immediately consider him for this position.
Number 10.
Jimmy Young from Central Florida. Brethren, I would like to ask you to defeat this motion. There's nobody in the world that would rather have Terry Geiger as the coordinator of that committee than myself. However, I have tried my dead level best to convince him, to woo him, to deceive him, to cajole him, to threaten him. But he has explained to me his reasons for not wanting to consider that coordinatorship, and reluctantly, although I think his reasons are extremely valid, I simply do not think we can consider Terry Geiger at this time. And I do think the reason I'm standing here is because Terry's not in the room. If Terry were, I think Terry would say these same things. Brethren, you just can't do it to him because I don't think he'd elect it. So I hope that you'll not.
Thank you. I recognize Mr. Broderick, Mike Nunn. He's on the search committee, and I think he might be able to add something to this.
Arch Broderick, Presbytery of the Ascension. I am serving on the NUS search committee, and I think for two reasons. One, the reason already noted, this motion would be of no real value. Secondly, Mr. Geiger serves as has tremendous wisdom in the area of selecting someone for the successors of Mr. Larry Mills. He's a very valuable person on this committee and serves as a very valuable chairman of that particular committee. I would urge you to defeat this motion. There isn't any real hope of getting Mr. Geiger to serve in that capacity. And I think, again, Mr. Geiger would say that here. Likewise, I think it would be wrong for the Assembly to mandate any individual or to attempt to do that which you have already determined the committee to do.
Number 11. Mike Levin.
Frank Barker, Evangel, Mr. Broderick made my speech, and I call for the question.
Question has been called. All in favor of putting the question signify by saying aye. Oh, no. Question is put. The question is on the motion. The motion is to move that the Assembly instruct the MUS committee to remove from the committee to search for coordinator the Reverend Terry Geiger so that he can be considered. All favoring that motion signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Motion failed. Back to the committee report as a whole. Any objection now? Any objection? Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Campbell, Central Georgia Presbytery. That went so fast, I don't understand what happened. Would you please explain what happened, and I'd like to make a motion.
What happened was that the motion failed. Since I don't believe you even voted for it.
Well, I'm trying to express. I'm very tired. My mind is confused. And I still don't understand what happened. I have an amendment to the motion that was made a while ago. I'd like to...
The motion is defeated. You can't amend it now. Too late. Question's called, the motion defeated. Cannot amend it. You can amend. All right, any other amendments or suggestions? Number 14? Call it the question is called on the report as a whole. All in favor of putting the question on the report as a whole is amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it. The questions on the report as a whole is amended. All favoring the report as a whole is amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So adopted. Thank you, Mr. Heath. All right, we're now to the order of the day. I assume the nomination committee's report. Is it the will of the... We have 15 minutes before recess. I know we can't complete this report in 15 minutes. Is it the will of the assembly that we... Do I hear a call for the order of the day for the nomination committee report to start on it? Okay, all right, it's the order of the day and it's been called. But Chairman of the Nominations Committee, come forward and let's get started. Mr. Murphy? I don't know whether we have one or not. Johnny, come. Jogging. Moderator, while he's coming forward, let me indicate that we have tried to set up the pages beginning with 1301 and following as sort of ballot sheets for you to keep your own records of new nominations and so forth. We hope that this will make this whole process simpler for you to be able to follow along. All right, Mr. Chairman. Wait. Number 10. Mike Ken, the Commissioner has a procedural motion. You make
it. Mid-Atlantic, and I'm not sure this is in order, sir, but I'd like to offer it. I'd like to move that the report of the nominating committee be adopted as presented without revision, with the possible exception of men who may have become unavailable since the report was written.
But I think that violates the rules of the assembly and that the book of church order provides the nomination to be made from the floor. Don't submit.
Yes, sir.
I think that's out of order. All right, proceed.
Mr. Moderator, we would like to simply say that the committee, in its nominations, gave careful consideration to the equal representation from all areas of our assembly. However, the principal consideration was the qualifications of the men which were submitted by the presbytery. And we have the nominations, and I would like to ask the assembly to turn to page 1301. And the first committee would be the Committee on Administration, where we were instructed to take two teaching elders and one ruling elder. However, there were two men of class 19 and 79 who resigned, and therefore we nominate Dick Harris from Tennessee Valley as teaching elder to replace Bruce Wideman, and Melvin Lancaster from Western Carolina Presbytery to replace J.D. Caulfield of Covenant Presbytery.
Let's start with the teaching elder. And Bruce, the vacancy in the class of 79, Bruce Wideman was resigned, right?
Yes, sir.
And who do you nominate in his place?
Dick Harris.
Dick Harris. All right, sir. Now, let's take nominations from the floor for ruling teaching elders for the class of 1979 committee administration, Mike Ken.
Mr. Moderator,
yes.
All of the other committees have begun their report with prayer. I know it's late, and perhaps more so we need to pray before we consider the nominees.
You're correct. Mr. Chairman, would you begin with prayer, please?
I'd be happy to.
Shall we pray?
Our Father, it has been a long day, and most of us are tired, but we pray for thy grace that would enable us to have clear thinking, that our hearts may be in tune with our Holy Spirit as we deliberate upon these names which have been submitted, and that those men of thy choosing might be elected to these vacancies for the ongoing of thy gospel, and the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Morris, for reminding me.
All right. Got any nominations from the floor for the Teaching Elder Class 1979? Seeing none, Mr. Harris is elected by acclamation. Now to the ruling elder, J.B. Coffey, your covenant resigned. Is that right, Mr. Yes,
yes.
And who do you nominate in his place? Melvin Lancaster of Western Carolina. But, Melvin? Melvin Lancaster? Yes, sir. I'm Mr. Melvin Lancaster, nominated to fill the class of 79 for J.D. Caulfield, who resigned. Are there any nominations from the floor?
Mr. Notary, may I inquire of the permanent committee, haven't we heard from him that he's not going to be able to serve? Am I incorrect on that? Is he the former alternate? I have the impression that when we notified him that he should start coming, he said he was not going to be able to be active. Maybe if Mr. Patterson is here, he could not inform us of that. Mr. Patterson, my state team. I think the state clerk is correct on that, that he had indicated he could not attend. He was an officer.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to reserve that? You're going to have some time for long to call your committee back and come back with another nomination for that spot later.
Mr. Moderator, we met this afternoon and were unable to maintain a quorum, and so some of the recommendations that we have are predicated upon the committee without actually a quorum.
The nominee has been nominated. You heard the statement. Is there any other nomination from the floor, number 13?
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to nominate Mr. Ray Jones from North Georgia State Chair for that spot.
Ray Jones.
Any other nomination? Not Mike Seven. Don Clement, Central Georgia. I'd like to nominate Mr. James Lee, Providence Presbyterian Church, Savannah, Georgia, for that spot. James Ruth, number 12. Number 12.
Bob C., Western Carolina. Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place a nomination in the name of Mr. Robert Hurd, who is business manager of the Central Presbyterian Church, South Florida Presbyterian.
APISP, Hurst,
EBERST.
EBERST. All right, any other nominations? All right, I think it would be in order for these men who nominated. And you've heard Mr. Lancaster. Let's take them in reverse order, Mr. A. The nominated group, you made a little statement about him. Give the commission some information about this gentleman so they can intelligently vote on him. And I'm going to ask the other men who nominated the other two men to also tell us a little bit of something about.
Mr. Ernst is retiring as administrator for the Federal Aviation Administration in Miami. He is going as business manager of the Central Presbyterian Church in South Florida Presbytery.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Clement? Yes, yes. EBERST. 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 Okay. Thank you, sir. Mike Kevin, tell us about Mr. Lewis. Mr. Clement.
Mr. Lewis has been a long-time elder in several churches in Savannah. He is serving this assembly as chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Stewardship. He has been very active in the work of several committees of Central Georgia Presbytery.
All right, Mr. Smart, will you tell us about Mr. Jones? Mike, take in, please.
I'm sure Mr. Jones is a member of the Crescent Mountain Presbyterian Church. He's an executive in industry there and has been a very active layman in North Georgia State Church.
Thank you, sir. We'll vote on these men in reverse order. And we're going to have to count you now. The clerks get ready. All those who favor Mr. Earth, please stand. Mr. Ebert, thank you, sir. All who favor Mr. Ebert from Miami, please stand and let the clerks count him. Now, the procedure is, you can think about it while they're counting it. You must have a majority. If you don't get a majority, the two top men run it off. You may be seated. All those who favor Mr. Jones Lee, please stand. Main standing to you, Tommy. All those who favor Mr. Ray Jones, please stand. You may be seated. All who favor Mr. Melvin Lancaster, please stand. Tell us what who votes, Mr. Lancaster. That they send the order of the day to 30 minutes till 11 o'clock. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Say nay. Those in doubt, all in favor, pull up your hand. Put them down. All opposed, hold up your hand. Those are sitting down. All in favor, stand up and let's come. Listen to the court make the announcement, please. I have a request of both presidents to meet immediately following the recess at this session in the area of microphone 8. Both presidents to meet in the area of microphone 8. Permanent Committee on Administration, Board of Directors. Meet immediately after adjournment tonight in the area behind the podium, behind the screen. Permanent Committee on Christian Education will meet upon adjournment in the balcony area for the moderators.
You want to do for them?
All those who oppose the Christian time, stand. I remain standing. The callers want to give a prayer. So keep standing till I tell you to sit down. Mr. Moderator, I may continue the announcement. It's cut. The Permanent Committee on Christian Education will meet upon adjournment in the balcony area for the moderator's right in the refreshment area. Covenant Presbytery was asked to meet for a picture in front of the steps of the gym after the morning recess at noon tomorrow. And Pacific Presbytery was also asked to meet, as directed by the Assembly,
Let me suggest that they meet in the balcony area to our left, or to the moderator's left up here. Movement may be seated. And Mid-Atlantic Presbytery is to meet our speaker for a moment.
We pray that you would
refresh each of us this evening, that we might think your thoughts after you tomorrow, to the praise and to the honor and to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Then we're in recess at 8 o'clock in the morning. Commissioners, please take their seat. Tim,
you're a member of the board. You need to know what the board is doing, what the supervisor is doing.
Reverend Bob D. Will you please come to microphone 15 and open the General Assembly with prayer? Robert D. 15. Shall we pray? Father, as we approach the throne this morning, we do so with recognition of the fact that we are nothing, and only as we claim the name of Jesus Christ do we have that confidence in Thee. We thank Thee for the night's rest, for Your blessings that have been upon us, for Your guidance and direction in our deliberations this day, that Jesus Christ may be glorified. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's my understanding that someone's saying something in the middle of nominating the name.
All right. First order of business will be the reading of the minutes of yesterday's session. The assembly reconvened at 8 a.m. Thursday, June 22nd, 1978, with prayer by the Reverend Russell D. Toms. The clerk read the minutes of the previous day, which were approved as corrected. The assembly adopted the following procedural motion: that the docket for today, June 22nd, 1978,
be amended by changing the time to reconvene from 1:30 to 1 p.m. at lunch, and from 7:30 to 6:30 p.m. at supper, and that the assembly recess for the night at 10:30 p.m. The Judicial Commission handling the Tennessee Valley case, complaint number 2, was excused from the assembly to conduct its business. The assembly was led in a special prayer by the Reverend Donald R. Estee concerning the following request. Please have the assembly to say a word of prayer for Mr. and Mrs. Robert Nix and their son Robert Jr., who was born Friday, June 16th. They believe Robert Jr. is developing yellow jaundice caused by an infection of his mother, who was running a fever. The Reverend Don K. Clements introduced the Reverend Charles H. Donahue, coordinator of the Committee on Christian Education and Publication, who narrated a slide presentation on the work of the Committee on CE&T. Thereupon, the Reverend Joseph A. Piper, Jr. spoke on the work of Great Commission Publications. Mr. John T. Clark assumed the moderator's chair at the request of the moderator. The Reverend James E. Moore presented the report of the Ad Interim Committee to study the biblical basis of union, beginning with prayer. It was adopted. The Reverend James E. Moore presented a motion to thank Westminster Theological Seminary. It was adopted. The Reverend Harry N. Miller, Jr. presented the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education and Publication. Mr. Dan Moore moved that the partial report adopted on Tuesday, June 20th, 1978, in our records at sections 42 and 44, be reconsidered, and that was adopted. Recommendation 3, Part 1, had the term exceptions changed to notations and was then adopted. Part 3.2 had 4.1979 dropped and it was then adopted. Section Recommendation 4 was adopted, 5 adopted, 6 adopted. Then we presented guests. The Reverend Donald R. S. D. introduced the Reverend John Kim of the Christian Reformed Church, who presented visitors from the Korean Presbyterian Church, Hapdong. Reverend Young Soo Lee, Ruling Elder K. Jun Bai, and Reverend Soo Hak Kim. The Reverend Lee spoke briefly and brought greetings from the Korean Presbyterian Church, Hapdong. The Assembly excused the Nominating Committee to meet at 1 p.m. The Assembly also excused the Permanent Committee on Mission to the United States at 1 p.m. The order of the day having arrived, the worship service began at 11:40 a.m., the Committee on Administration conducted the service. The sermon was delivered by the Reverend Gordon K. Reed. The assembly recessed at 12:05 p.m. with prayer by the Reverend Donald B. Patterson. The assembly reconvened at 1:30 p.m. with prayer by the Reverend Paul G. Settle. The assembly determined to finish considering the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education and Publications before moving to the order of the day. Recommendation 7A adopted, 7B adopted, 7C adopted, D, E, F, G, and H all adopted. Then 8 was adopted. How about these? Were these adopted? 9, A, B, and C? Yes, that was all adopted. 9 was adopted. 10 adopted with substitution of scripture for biblical. 11 adopted. 12 adopted, including section 7 and section 7. 13, 1 was adopted, and 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, these are subsections of 13, were adopted. 14 adopted, 15 adopted. 15A, 15B adopted, 15C adopted, with an amendment rearranging the wording. D was adopted with the addition of rent under section 2. E was adopted, 16 adopted, both sections A and B. 17 was adopted, A and B. 18 adopted. Dr. Salming was again granted the privilege of the floor. The assembly received recommendations 19,
and 20, which were adopted. 21, the budget was deferred. 22 adopted, 23 adopted, and then the audit report and the report as a whole. The second, the Assembly turned to the report of the Adenda Committee on the number of officers.
The Assembly adopted the second minority report as amended instead of the sixth General Assembly majority report. The first minority report failed to be received instead of the second minority report. Thus, the second minority report was received by the Assembly for perfection. The process of perfection is in process at the time of recess. The Assembly recessed at 5 p.m. and Reverend Mr. Frank K. Chappell led the Assembly in prayer. The Assembly reconvened at 6:30 p.m. with prayer by the Reverend Paul King. It came to the report of the Committee of Commissioners and Administration. The recommendations 1 through 4 were adopted. Number 5, the Committee of Commissioners' recommendations failed. The original committee recommendation was adopted. 6, a substitute was adopted as amended. 7, and 8, A, B, C, D, and E were adopted. 8F, the minority report was adopted. 8G was adopted. 9 had been adopted by previous action of the Assembly. 10 was adopted, and 11 was referred with proposed amendment to the Committee of Commissioners on Administration to report to the 7th General Assembly. 12, 13, 14, 15 were adopted. 16 was adopted as amended, the HAPS amendment. 17 was adopted, 18 deferred, and 19 adopted. Overture 1 was adopted. Overture 2, recommendation on Overture 13 was defeated, and it was adopted as Overture 13 in amended form. Recommendation 2 on Overture, the substitute was adopted. The Assembly excused the Committee of Commissioners on reviewing compared to Presbyterians for 10 minutes to complete their business. Overture Recommendation 4 was adopted. Overture Recommendation 5 is defeated. Overture 26 was also defeated. Thus, Overture 26 was unanswered. Recommendation on Overture Recommendation 6 was adopted. 7, 8, 9 adopted. 10 was adopted, then reconsidered and defeated, so that the original affirmative proposal was adopted. Section 2L of the report was of the Assembly. Section 2L of the report was amended by the Assembly. Approval of the report as a whole was postponed. Mr. Jack Williamson, Assembly Moderator, said at the request of the moderator. The Assembly turned to the report of the Committee of Commissioners on NUS. The Reverend Matt Heath presented the remainder of the report of the Committee of Commissioners on NUS, moving the adoption of Overture 23 to divide Carolina Presbytery. The Assembly adopted the Overture. The Assembly adopted an amendment to Overture 35. The report as a whole, as amended, was adopted. The Reverend Bill Milford presented the report of the Nominating Committee, opening with prayer. Reverend Richard Harris, Tennessee Valley, was elected to the Committee of Commissioners, passed in 1979, to replace the Reverend Bruce Rodman. The Assembly recessed at 10:30 p.m., and the Reverend Larry B. Jones led the Assembly in his closing prayer.
You have heard the reading of the minutes. Are there corrections or additions? Are you speaking to Matt Spencer? Matt Spencer 11?
I don't believe Dick Harris was elected to a committee of commissioners record.
Pardon me. Matt Spencer 11? I'm a Christian education minute on 15B, number 2, you said there was an inclusion in the addition of the word rent, and I think it was salaries that was included instead of rent.
Yes, sir. Who is that?
Map 47.
Mr. Moderator, that map for reference to the overture that was left unanswered but is recorded with no action. Overture 26, I believe.
I think you might have put the record from being buzzed at that point with such language would be appropriate, okay? Okay. I see no one else picking the microphone. All in favor of receiving the minutes of yesterday's session as amended, please say aye. All opposed, no. It is so ordered. The order of the morning will be as follows. First, we have a special order put on by the committee and administration. Then we will conclude the business of the nominating committee. And then, by special request, we will take up the committee on interest. In short, and relief, and hopefully, the commissioners will be prepared to move expeditiously. Our law recognizes chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration for presentation of the special order. He will do that top-ended. I recognize the chairman of the permanent committee and administration.
Okay, Patterson, you have a subject to the chairman of the administration.
Pat, may I interrupt you before you say anything further? The commissioner, please remember that your folder binders are to be turned in when you leave unless you wish to deposit the sum of $3. Sir? Unless you're willing to deposit the sum of $5 with Dr. Dunmore or his representative, you are to leave these on the registration table before you make your departure, if you depart. Mr. Chairman?
Well, when I thought this money was going to be brief, and I'm sure you would appreciate that. A couple of years ago, someone asked me how it felt to be serving on the General Assembly the third hour. And he was a little mystified, and he said, well, it appears that everything that no one else wants to do, they give to the Administration Committee. And that may be true, because the Administration Committee's duties are quite varied. We want to share with you this morning some of the things that the Administration Committee is involved in doing. First of all, our coordinator, Dr. Don Moore, has some things that he wants to share with you and ask you to do. And following him, Dr. Martin Smith will address your thing.
Thank you, Tom. There are several different things that come through my office. One of the things that I enjoy doing the most is getting involved in the logistical support of the General Assembly. It's been very important to me that you be able to come here and focus your minds on the business and not be concerned with announcements for things that don't go well in the housing and the food. And I don't really get all the feedback that I need as far as elections, what is good and what is not so good. And to that end, I have prepared a questionnaire, which I will ask the clerk to hand out at this time. I would like for you to just take 5 minutes at this time to tell me how you feel about things. I'm asking specific questions in a number of areas, and I'm giving you the opportunity to tell me whether you agree, disagree, and whether you feel strongly about individual items. And I really want
want you to take a few minutes to do this thoughtfully so that I can carry out your wishes as the future assemblies are planned. I hope you do understand that not all wishes can be met. It is frequent that we have people on the opposite sides of the same question. I was sitting at one presbytery meeting, and the brother on my left said, "I did not buy the General Assembly luncheon because I thought it was too expensive." I went down to the cafeteria and ate people. The brother on my right said, "I did not buy your General Assembly meal because it was not enough. I went to the steakhouse and had steak and lobster." There's no way that I can reconcile those kind of differences. But I do seek to serve as a back of the group, and I want very much for your convenience to be taken care of. As you're filling out the form, let me just continue to say a few things about some of the odd bits and pieces that go through our office. Of course, we handle the undesignated money that congregations send to support all the committees. Many congregations also send designated gifts to the program committees through our office, and we're glad to handle this. We have no zeal about their sending them to us instead of directly to the committee, but if it is convenient to you, that would be fine. We also are involved in the your committee, the Conference Center Committee, who will be keeping the complete set of books there for the Conference Center. All over there in South Carolina will be in Georgia and will be keeping their books, and this will be an interesting sort of thing to keep up with. Get involved in paying for all the bills for the General Assembly meeting. There are interesting questions about taxation, how you organize a new congregation in order to be square with Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam really was very generous with his interpretation about saying the church is a church. These are things that come to our office. And of course, the insurance and annuity program for the state are handled through my office. And I think that you have programs that you can be proud of. And if we continue to call these to the attention of the body, I think the weakest area for our body is the lack of participation for lay people in the lay annuity fund. Many congregations have church secretaries or janitors, and apparently are making no provisions for the future of these people. I had a call from one of the brothers fairly recently. He said, "We have a secretary who's worked for our church for some 20-odd years. And now she's come to the age of retirement, what do? We have never laid nothing aside for her." You might can handle one employee this way and get away with it. I don't think that you have to attempt to handle money this way, because there's a large unfunded liability that none of the congregations have. So we offer the program to you and hope that you will take advantage of that for the good of the employee and also for the good of the congregation. I feel led also to say a word or two about tithing and my own personal experience with tithing. As a child, I heard the story, but you know how it is. It's just between my pocketbook and
family members of church. It's awfully hard for a young man to stay with God. And so as I first began to enter college, I fell away from God. And even when I first became a church professional, I worked out in a very interesting mental piece of gymnastics. You see, when I became a missionary, naturally I took a large salary cut. And so I said to the Lord, now look here, I'm going to tithe my old salary and then charge you for the difference between what I used to make and what I make as a missionary. Therefore, I have more than tithing. I've already met your retirement. Isn't it interesting how Satan can lead us astray? And tithing. I've already met your retirement. Isn't it interesting how Satan can lead us astray? Finally, I was led by good teachers and good study of the Word to come back to tithing, and the Lord has blessed me financially because of that tithing, is the way I think about it, and I have grown beyond tithing and into the area of offering. And this is a message that I think needs to be said over and over again. And I hope all of us, as under shepherds of the flock, will examine carefully our leadership in our own flock. Because our own people have not had this blessing, and they need to be led in this direction. In order to put this in vivid terms, let me be so bold as to say that our leadership as under shepherds is effective, and we are content to see many, many, many of the people of our flock living in sin because they don't recognize the Lord as the Lord of their pocketbook. I challenge you to be faithful under shepherds in this area. Thank you. Oh, yes, by all means, do pass back the questionnaire.
Let me just continue the program presentation of the Committee on Administration from up here since I'm already here. I'll try to be finished in about 5 minutes. What I'm going to do is summarize the basic presentation that I generally give when I go out on the stewardship programs in the different areas of the church. Some of you may have heard some of the things I'm about to say. First of all, I think we ought to think of the Committee on Administration as a necessary aspect of the work of the church. It has to do with the organization and keeping things organized and the seeking to do things decently and in order. And I think we find our biblical mandate from the very nature of God, who is himself a God of order, seen in the creation, seen in the fact that he himself gave to us our ethical standards in a systematic way. You have the setting down of the Ten Commandments, orderly, progressive, orderly progression there. You find Jesus, particularly at the time of the feeding of the 5,000, I believe two of the accounts indicate that they set the group down in groups of 150. And that's the way to handle a large crowd, 5,000 people, more people than we had here. The disciples were told to get these men seated in an orderly situation. So we find that we have the biblical mandate for handling the affairs of the church in an orderly procedure. Let me suggest to you, if you think you could do without the Committee on Administration, just think of the things that you wouldn't have done. One thing, you would not have had the business arrangement for this assembly made by Dr. Moore. And then as you come to the stated clerk's office, the other aspects of it. Stated clerk's office is particularly in charge of the records. You see me doing one of the major things that I have as the task of the stated clerk in getting the minutes, having these recording clerks here, getting those minutes and carefully taken down. We have a secretary who is typing them. We're typed up within about a half a second of the assembly, so that when we finish an assembly, we have a good first rough draft of the minutes that could can be sent to the printer, say, about a week after the assembly, and seek to get those minutes out. I hope in this case around September. In the past, we had the September assembly and gotten them out in December. So now with a new order, a new time schedule, I would hope our minutes will be out by September, if not earlier. One of the things that's involved, actually the Office of State Clerk is involved in three books every year, one of which goes out of the other. One of the other things that's involved in the records is the preparing of the handbook. You see, you already have the handbook and the supplement to the handbook, and we've had to gather that, see it through a printer, and that much of that becomes the record of the minutes of the assembly as you adopt them, and we'll place those in the record. The other book, in addition to the handbook and then the minutes, the other book is the book of statistics, the yearbook. In our old church, these statistics were simply appended at the end of minutes, But since we were meeting in September, that did not seem to be a good time to publish the statistics. We seek to gather them immediately after the beginning of the calendar year, and we try to get them published as soon as possible. We do have the problem in the spring of having both now, with the June meeting of the assembly, the yearbook coming down to the printer, and at the same time the handbook being coming down to the printer. We could have gotten our yearbook out a month earlier this year had he not gotten in a bind and had to set it aside while we were going with the handbook, which had an absolute schedule. We had to finish it. Despite that, we still got it out earlier than we did last year. And it is my hope that we are going to be able to see that yearbook coming out, say, around the month of April, as we get more efficient in it. We'll use the same printer. He has much of the material, biographical material and so forth, on tape. And we just collect those tapes, and those things are ready to go almost immediately after the first of the year. The major problem we have in the yearbook is you, who are clerks of session, not getting your reports back to the clerks of presbyteries, and they then in turn not getting them back to me on the deadlines that we set. Now, I know we set early deadlines, about the middle of January and then the end of January, for all of those statistics to be back in our hands. You know, in the past years, I have actually received statistics as late as August, not in time for the yearbook. But that's ridiculous, that men don't think that they're responsible to bring in the statistics. If your church, you want a record of how your church stands statistically, we need to get those records in. And I would urge those of you who are, all of you members of session, to urge your clerk of session, if he's not here, to urge him to get those materials in promptly in the month of January each year. The other thing we've already mentioned last night in connection with the state clerk's office, we have placed the matter of all of our history. We have just gotten really organized this past year on history. Jim Jordan, who has been assisting our recording clerk here, is in charge of that aspect of the work in the office. We've gotten a little pamphlet out describing the kinds of things we want. We feel that it would do well, although we've had some resistance at least from one or two sections, so you don't want to be bothered with it. We feel it would be well if not only you have a historian writing the history, but that it has the approval of the session for this reason. 100 years from now, people will be looking at that history, and they'll be looking for marriage records and baptismal records and so forth. It ought to be an accurate history. It ought not to be something that's just done by the memory of some historian who's not seeing the record, but rather somebody who has compared it with a special record. And so that kind of thing, I think it's well for the professors actually to have read and approved as being a statement, concise statement of your history. I would also urge presbyteries, this is something our former church has not been doing, but I would urge presbyteries to appoint historians, write up a brief summary of what you as a presbytery have been doing up to this point, and then keep on an annual history every year. Let me urge in this election particularly
you who have distinctive form difficulties as you came out of the former church. I think of men, some of the men, particularly in the Ascension Presbytery. Stuart Cohen, I think of as one who took a stand, preached a sermon, said he was going to leave. And I would love to see us have a copy of that sermon in our histories of that church. Those things ought to be gathered before it's too late. We're already 4 years away from the beginning. And those types of things, if you took such a stand, you've got a case recording. We need to preserve those things for future reference. And as I said last night, if you have any stipulation, you don't want this looked at by anybody for any length of time, we will seal it and abide by your regulations about that. But I would urge you to become active in gathering the history and be producing the history of the Presbyterian Church in America. Another area, and I would say this is with regard to the State Clerk's Office, one of the important functions you've handed to us is the handling of the ministerial data forms. This is significant both for the ministers who may feel that they ought to be having their name circulated to other churches. If you're in that situation, you feel that maybe you're about to finish your work where you are and want your name circulated, we have ministerial data forms that we gather. And then when churches write in and say, we don't have a pastor now, do you have any names? I will then go through, and our philosophy on this is that we are not a placement service. We're not even a recommendation service. We're simply an information service. So my philosophy is if a church writes in and asks for data forms without any specifications as to who they want, I'll send about a dozen. That gives that committee a wide of choice. As you see, and then if they don't find in that first dozen what they want, I'll send another dozen. And another, until if possible they can find those data from someone that they want to call as their pastor. But that is leaving it from to the committee. And as it is, don't ask me to say, who do you recommend? I don't want to be in that spot. I don't think it's right for you to pick the State Church of the General Assembly in that spot. If I recommend somebody who doesn't turn out, then you're going to have less confidence in the Assembly State Church. It'd be better for you to make the choice out of the information that is in our office. But we would ask an old churches who don't have pastors and who are looking for pastors, you have this service. You may or may not listen, whatever you want to do. You have this service, we will try to accommodate you any way we can. My policy, a basic policy, PCAMN comes first. We're getting more and more ministers and fewer and fewer opportunities of changing within the church. PCAMN comes first. In that dozen, usually it's for all people, the first dozen that goes out. If nobody's found in that, then I begin to go to the other five of non-PCA men, and you have a large file of non-PCA people wanting to come to our church. But I give first preference to those who are already in our church, because it seems to me that we have an obligation for those who have already committed themselves to it. The other thing that the office is involved in, and here I would like to state the philosophy of what I think the State Clerk's Office could be. State Clerk's Office is not an office that runs the church. I think Sherrill once thought they introduced me up in the Pittsburgh area as the Pope of the church, and I immediately said, absolutely not. We have no such thing. You may appreciate this. We received an invitation from a group in California offering to have the chief executive officer of several denominations come and have a training session in how you should act as an executive. We refused it on the grounds. They were going to pay our expenses. We would have to pay our salary. They were going to pay the rest of the expenses on the thing. We said, we have no such thing. We don't think that your program would meet our needs in any way. We are here as your servant. Now, the area where the office is frequently called upon, and don't ask me this kind of question if you will, what is your reason on this? I don't give reason. Only the assembly gives reason. You may ask me what is my interpretation of the book, and I'm constantly involved in this. We've gotten a sort of a syndrome in the office. Well, it's Monday morning. We have one telephone call after another on Monday morning. There must be congregational meetings and various things that are taking place, and advice is sought. What should be done? And I hope I've always acted this way, and if I haven't, I apologize for it, but I try to be as objective as I can. We've had several judicial complaints and cases, not necessarily coming up to the assembly level, but several going on, five. It has been my policy to try to stay as objective on that, and my advice is to talk to both sides equally, trying to encourage both sides to get their best way possible. So that those who are bringing charges against someone, I tell them, you must do it by the book. Follow what the book says. The book seeks to guarantee the rights of everybody. And then for those who say are being charged, here are your rights. Follow the book again. But here are your rights. Here's what you will do. Here's what you ought to do to get your death through. And I try to stay out. I don't make any judgments. If somebody writes to me or asks me about such and such, it was not my design. I would plead with you not to ask me what I think about a case, but rather, how do you proceed with such a case? In that way, we can keep the office helpful and a servant to all of the courts. And this is our desire to be of service. And that would be our basic philosophy in both of the offices of the business administration and the office of the state attorney. I believe that completes our program.
May I conclude?
Yes, sir.
There is one other function of the Committee on Administration that you may not be aware of. That is that the Committee on Administration also serves as a board of directors for the denomination. In case there is any legal document that needs to be enacted, would Board of Directors act on behalf of the General Assembly, for example, in the granting of certain bills. Last winter when it appeared that our NUS committee would not be able to meet some of the contractual agreements with organizing pastors. Your Board of Directors was called together to meet with and consult with the staff and committee and in the U.S. to see what the church could do to undergird that work and meet those contractual agreements. This committee serves the church as the board of directors. There is another thing that I would like to call to your attention, and that's to focus on one of the actions on the committee on the report of abortion. The General Assembly does not have any money. The action was that the General Assembly provided the funds. The General Assembly has no money. The committees of the General Assembly have some money. We have to decide which of those committees will bear such an expense. So if you would in the future and considering such recommendations, besides that committee, you want to defend that particular thing is undertaken by the administration committee. We'll put that in our budget and we'll approve that. But the General Assembly does not have any money. In such a position, you get all kinds of comments. And most of those you consider carefully. And do what you can about them in the functioning of the committee. There is one comment I want to pass on to you. I don't want to bear this by myself, and I clearly do not want the administration committee to bear this. It belongs to the whole assembly. Considering the budget that was passed last year, the layman leveled this accusation at us. And referred to Matthew 23, verse 4. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. And this particular layman was saying that we, the General Assembly, pass budgets and then go home with no intention of doing anything about them. I think enough has been said on this matter to encourage you go back to your churches and to put before your congregations the whole work of our General Assembly, and to give them the opportunity to give to the work of our General Assembly. I have found in over 20 years of pastoring churches that you do not have to guard Presbyterian pocketbook. That ability is innate. But I have also found that if you put before Presbyterian people the cause of the Lord and the need of His work, the Presbyterians respond by the power of the Spirit to do what God has called us to do. And I hope and pray that you will lay before your congregation the whole work of our General Assembly. I will conclude this with a word of prayer, please. Would you pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have called into being this denomination. We thank you that you have given to us the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will hear. That you have given us the responsibility of proclaiming that message even when no man hears. We thank you that you have given us the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father, that you would grant grace that we may be faithful in all things, that the Lord Jesus Christ may have dominion in all things, that by your Spirit working in our hearts and our minds, every thought, every word, every deed may be brought into subjection to our Savior. And we pray, our Father, that you would continue to lead and to bless this denomination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I will take the liberty of a personal word added in connection with some of the remarks that Dr. Smith was making. I have personally found our stated point to be one of the most self-effacing persons I have ever met. And I think that he's not exactly told or flower unrecognized, but he served the General Assembly well. Excuse me, Paul, yes? Microphone 13.
Well, you will try to record the 4-6-9. I have two procedural motions I'd like to make at this time, one at a time of test. The first one is that we reconvene at 1 instead of 1:30 today, and that we not recess for supper at 5, but continue recessing until all business is completed. If I had a second, I'll speak just a minute to it.
Is that your first procedural issue for both of us?
That is my first one. Two parts. I agree with you in the time of your assembly. Amending the docket.
The motion has been made for procedural motion that we recess for lunch for 1 hour and do not recess for dinner. And there is a supper.
I think we have a good bit of business to do. And if we recess for supper, we will have nobody here to do it. I think we should stay in session and put us down.
We need to communicate this action from the evening meal to our pastry at the calling call. Will this not inconvenience them?
The person expected would have to be communicated immediately, and besides that, all it is the intent of the commissioner.
Certainly would have to be communicated immediately.
And besides that, all it is the intent of the commissioner that we absent ourselves one at a time and then come back. I don't know.
I'm hoping we can be through with this by about 6 o'clock and you still have time to go to the supper hall. But that's not definite. That's indefinite.
I promise you, sir, that if we remain until midnight, we will not be through today. I can promise you that. Microphone 10.
Moderator, I'm not going to make another motion. I found out that we would rather eat ice cream than discuss elders. But if common sense is any part of this motion, I think it'd be useless to suggest that we not recess for supper.
You think it's counterproductive?
That's a good word.
Good word. Microphone 14 on this motion?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Teletan, Mid-Atlantic. I think, sir, if we'll use our time judiciously this morning, that we can conduct this business and be through before 5 o'clock. And if not, I see no need to proceed further in this assembly, which can carry for next year. But are you still on the same thing?
Personal.
I see no one else seeking the microphone on the procedural motion. You want it on the procedural motion. 13.
Mr. Moderator, I call for the question.
You call for the question on the procedural motion. We will call for the question. We will call for the question. If you wish to vote on the procedural motion, will you say aye?
Aye.
If you want to talk some more, say no. All those in favor of the procedural motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is lost.
The next motion is that we hear the Judicial Commission report on the Tennessee Valley case immediately following the report of the nominating committee. If I have a second, I'll speak to it just a minute.
Second, I will remind the General Assembly, and most of you were not here at the time, that the order of business was announced as continuation of nominating committee and then insurance and annuity. And what he is moving is to insert Judicial Commission between those two reports as they were announced by the moderator. Do you have a second?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir, you have a second. You may speak.
This report should take a minimal amount of time, and we do not want it to get lost in the shuffle of getting out of here today, and I wanted to have a place on the docket for it. There are some rulings involved that I think all of the commissioners would do well to hear. I'll say nothing else because I don't want to discuss the case as such.
This is a judicial commission on cases of process. Are you seeking the mic in respect of this motion? 14, are you? Personal privilege. I see no one seeking the mic. We are going to vote on the proposal. If you would insert the judicial commission following the nominating committee, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is so ordered. 14.
Mr. Moderator, my name is Wilson Smith. I'm from North Georgia Presbytery, and I ask for personal privilege for prayer. My dad, who is a ruling elder in the Faith Presbyterian Church in Wasilla, Florida, under Reverend Russ Tom, is today undergoing a very serious surgery for kidney stones, and I'd like to ask that you appoint someone to pray for him. This will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Orange Memorial Hospital in Orlando, Florida, and I'd like to request prayer for him. His name is Malcolm Smith. He is an elder, again, in the Faith Presbyterian Church in Wasilla, Florida. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the Reverend Robert Sweet to lead us in prayer in just a moment. Microphone 10.
Hey, Thompson. I'm from Westminster Presbyterian Church, Fort Walton Beach. We have a member of our church, one of our young children, going in today for a major operation on his back. We would like to include him in that prayer this morning.
Bob, will you come to microphone 13 and lead us in prayer? Brethren, let us pray. Mr. Moderator, I'm sorry I was engaged in conversation. Can you give me the name, please? Is the commissioner please repeat the name? And the other, please.
Can't allow you, Matt.
Let us pray. Get him from here. Father God, we pause here in the midst of
an agenda that is so full. The list before you is the prayers and concerns of our hearts for these two who have been mentioned. Father, you tell us in your word that the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man avails not. And we recognize that we come as righteous men because we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pause to pray for these two. Specifically, Father, we look at Malcolm Smith. Father, we also look at Andrew Kanini, the son of one of our people on the foreign field. Father, thou art the great physician. Father, thou art the God of all comfort. And we pray that through thy Spirit that thou might comfort these and their loved ones with the comfort wherein we ourselves have been comforted in thee. Father, there are others that could be remembered. Each of us in our mind can lift up to you those that are special concern to us. So, Father, we come as your children, redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus. Say, O Father, in grace, have mercy, sustain, undergird, bind up, and heal to the end that you may be glorified, and that your name may be praised before all mankind. We pray in Jesus, his King and Head of our church, in his name.
I believe you have about ready to get to your business. Dr. Paul Clay, Florida. I'm out. And I'll introduce a procedural motion.
Let's hear the procedural motion.
That we reconvene at 1 o'clock for the afternoon session, and we reconvene at 6 o'clock for the evening session.
You have a second?
This would be one hour for lunch and one hour for dinner.
If you favor this procedural motion, will you say aye?
Or if no?
For this forever.
Do you have something?
No, for 13.
That's just the operator, Frank Toho, from the center now. You know, at this point, the proprietary personal privilege of the media with questions for information.
With a question for information?
No, sir.
No, sir.
That's secondary personal privilege.
Let's hear it.
Personal privilege carries, first of all, itself. Not the questions that I come out in resolutions later for myself, and I'm sure in the House of Members that don't you as the moderator of that prayer while we have sufficient of our numbers, and because later there may be a stain of the rank, we've expedited this assembly where more than that, the minute that's a dignity on the floor, recognizing that's an order. And also, you've tried to help us, which is why I come to the question of information. A motion I'd like to make a motion, I'm not going to do it, but that's why I need your help. The fact of the nature, the way that we see the two and a half of concerns in the past, is clear that it was items of business. And the way we expedite business is not necessarily the way that the assemblies have to deal with theological matters. So difficult and a repressive time to begin to open the word
beautiful on an open basis is even committee report. And we have a good intention of the messenger this year is to create a star that's from Westminster 1845. And Grand Rapids 1978, we are not dealing on the same basis. And the most I would like to make, if I will not, because I don't know what's the best to do, is that we would have a special convening of the General Assembly for the purpose of doing scriptures and theological issues before us. But what does one do when everybody would try to hit the square about where, when, how, and so forth? What's the best way to be able to start up with the matter for that purpose?
That we ask for a single subject of the issue to both some persons. Previous 10 days, he has left the church of Mana, so we've got worries of him.
But I want to come back to it.
Tell you how to do it if you want to do it. I'm sure Reggie up here will be glad to help you in his spare time, and what do you have to say?
No, I'm not doing that, Temple Judge. I have a point of order about order of the day, and I understand that the order of the day is an influence of the day.
The order of the day is not in full to the ritual. Okay, the order of the day is really there was some last month's order of the day, which is the order of the day. That was not concluded.
Maybe I don't understand my parliamentary procedure.
It's still for the year, it's scheduled on the docket for this afternoon, so we did come from. If we are the first order of the day after the presentation of time.
After the presentation?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to interrupt the other order of the day?
That's my understanding when you have an
order of the day. Yes.
Yeah.
Orders of the day when they are passed at the third time and overlap, the first thing will be completed before the second one is taken out.
Are you on nomination?
Secretary, this has to be excused at this time to conduct the business that they were ordered to do last night, and if you will excuse them for meeting the area here to have the coffee upstairs. Mr. Moderator, I move that we grant that excuse to Secretary Secretary to do the business we ordered them to do.
Without objection to Secretary Secretary's excuse, while the chairman of nominations is coming forward, I want to say this to the assembly. These nominations take into account the presbyteries that are supposed to have cases on these committees are taking into account the service of the people nominated in respect to expertise. They take into account whether these men are serving on other committees or have not served on other committees, and whether the proper time is expired since they served on other committees. They take into account all considerations that have to be taken into account before a nomination is made. So when you come to the floor with a nomination to replace a name on a list, you must be certain that all the qualifications have been met. Furthermore, you must realize that you are incurring the sentiment of an assembly that is becoming increasingly discombobulated.
Discombobulated over counted votes. Every vote has to be counted. Now bear that in mind as you suggest to the brethren that your wisdom exceeds that of the nominating committee. Microphone 8.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Moderator Todd Allen, Presbyterian Southern Florida, as I had spoke with you earlier, I would request her, if it's possible, to make a motion to reconsider.
I'm going to let you have that, sir, but not at this point.
All right, thank you. Well, you'll let me know then.
You're going to have your opportunity to reconsider. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
You and Paul Settle both have something of that in mind.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Moderator, I wonder if we couldn't open this portion of the business with a brief word of prayer. Our Father, in our further deliberations of this matter, we ask thy favor, and we pray that thy Spirit might lead in the replacement of those who have rotated off and those who have resigned, that thy work might continue to the glory and the praise of Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Moderator, I believe that last night, rather late last night, we had completed the replacement of Bruce Weidman, who had resigned from the class of 1979, with Dick Harris, and now we're at the point of determining who will replace J.D. Caulfield, the ruling elder for 79, and that went off is between Ray Jones and Robert Eberson.
This is page 1301 in your Commissioner's Handbook. Does everyone have the place? We're going to do it with a court, and perhaps the court would be unnecessary. We will take the second name that's on the board first, and then the first one. Do you have a procedure, Mr. Assessor, Master Cook? Basic owner, Western Fire Island. This is procedure. Can we have the count on these two men, the ballot of 74? I beg your pardon, sir. Can we have the count on these two men? Do we have it? Yes. Not yet. In the previous ballot. Oh, last night. Yes, sir. Mr. Kirk, do you have those? I'm not sure that's good. By a show of hands first, with your assessment, just for the second loan on the screen, will you hold up your hand? Dan, if your assessment is for the first loan, will you hold up your hand? We're going to have to call. Those of you who are supporting Mr. Ebert, will please stand and remain standing until you come.